It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday afternoon, 5 o'clock on The Drive. You know what that means? It's time for Tucker Harlan and his Tip Top Top 5 at 5. Tucker, take it away.
It's a lot of tease, Bear.
Tom Tuttle from Tacoma. Look it up.
Thank you, Bear. At number one, some Tennessee football recruiting information. The Vols have landed 2025 three-star defensive back Sidney Walton from the Birmingham area. Walton chose Tennessee over Ole Miss, Missouri, and Arkansas in the SEC.
It's a pretty good offer list. Missouri's been killing it. Have you noticed that, Houston?
Yeah, there's something funny going on up there.
They have also got a state law in Missouri, too, that helps out with NIL.
All pulling in the same direction.
Well, they can start getting their NIL money in high school, if I'm not mistaken. But they can get paid earlier.
Yeah, they absolutely can. So, as we say farewell to Jace Brown, I'd like to bring in his partner from overtime, William Pattison.
Yes. There you go.
From overtime, he's going to be hanging out with us for the next hour, and we're going to be talking with Tennessee Men's Associate Head Basketball Coach Justin Gainey. I almost called him Jordan.
I do that a lot, but it's the other
way
around.
They're related.
Yeah, they are.
Happens.
Yeah. So.
At number two on the note of basketball, Reed Sheppard has declared for the NBA draft and will forgo his remaining years of college eligibility.
Bye
Sheppard,
bye.
Son of Kentucky star Jeff Sheppard, is a projected lottery pick, and he averaged 12.5 points and 4.5 assists per game this past season.
Apparently, little brouhaha has cropped up on Twitter right now.
I saw it.
TJ's trying to rewrite history.
He can try, but...
We've got tape. We've got tape, TJ.
They can delete the tweets, but screenshots last forever. I think William would agree. There were Kentucky fans that thought,
yes,
he's coming back. He's going to help us save the program. His dad played with Pope.
It was last week I heard that he apparently, or Sheppard, got some clothing NIL deal in Kentucky. And, he's coming back.
He's back. No.
He's a top 15 pick. So, I mean, I don't think he would... benefit from staying. Also, a new coach coming in. He should go get paid
now.
Draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to start your clock so you can get your second contract. Nobody's turning down top five money. Is there a more diluted fan base than Kentucky?
Probably.
I mean, I know Alabama football's up there.
They're up there. There's some weird fan bases that, like, they're not really very good at anything.
Nebraska.
They always think, like, this is the year. I think some people would say Tennessee fans may fall into that category. But this was just a weird situation with Cal and then Pope. You know, they didn't want Pope, and then they get him, and then they fill the arena.
With Pope?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't really tell. I mean, he said all the right things in the press conference, but that's what every coach does.
Yeah.
You know, We're going to win championships. We're going to have expectations here that are more than, you know, they all say the same thing.
I said it last week. I think he's their Kelly Harper, essentially. Mm. Of course, that remains to be seen with the first season that he has at Kentucky, but it's just the same concept of, like, a well-known player, well-liked player, rather, but is just kind of there in the coaching ranks. Like, they're winning enough to get to the tournament, but they're not actually going to do anything for you in the tournament.
Yeah, and they were doing that with
Calipari,
They were doing that with top five classes, like, every year. And so even if he's a better X's and O's on the floor coach, if he can't get that same type of talent, they're used to that. They're used to, hey, yeah, we got five signees and four of them are five stars in the top 20. If he doesn't get that kind of talent and he starts losing, I think they could turn on him pretty quick.
At number three, the Oakland A's are not the only professional sports franchise that is scheduled to move in the coming years. Last night, the Arizona Coyotes played their final game in Phoenix as they are headed to Salt Lake City next season.
But none of the team want to move there, right?
No. Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't. This is so weird. Salt Lake City would be a kind of a cool place to live.
Is that a hockey town though? I know they have ice there, but does that make them a hockey
more
town?
More of a winter sports town than Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah,
you get the mountains and.
Did I see that? Was it last week? Some of the players had a day or two off, and they went up to tour the facilities because they'd never seen it.
Yeah,
it's wild.
I mean, it's beautiful out there. Be a nice place to live.
Salt Lake?
Yeah.
You ever been?
No. Just read a lot about it.
I had a layover there once. That's it.
Russ has been there. He's talked about it. And it's where my boy,
Tom.
How wild's that got to be going from the Belgian Congo to Salt Lake City, Utah?
With a trip to Knoxville in between.
Yeah.
That's a little culture shock there for sure.
At number four, MLB scoreboard for you. There are five games going on today, three that have concluded. We'll go through all five. Rays defeated the Angels 2-1 in the Trop. The Rangers defeated the Tigers 9-7 today in Detroit. Guardians defeated Bears arch nemesis, the Red Sox, 5-4 in Fenway Park. The 4-15 Marlins play the Cubs and Wrigley tonight at 7:40. And the Diamondbacks and the Giants will play each other in the Bay Area in an NL West clash.
Do we have any SEC games tonight? Is anybody starting a series tonight?
Let me take a look.
I'm sure there's one.
Yeah, Florida plays Vanderbilt in Hawkins Field. And then here's an interesting one. Number one, Texas A&M at number 18, Alabama. Keep in mind, Alabama just knocked off Arkansas from that number one spot this past week.
Giant killers.
They're an interesting team to keep an eye on just because of all the high-profile teams they've won series against.
What are they going to do about this catcher? What's this kid's name? A&M's catcher?
Oh, no, that's Mississippi State. That Johnny Long guy.
He's a weirdo.
I mean, if we're being honest.
He's a troublemaker is what he is.
Kind of reminds me of,
I'd love to have him.
Oh, yeah, he would have fit in perfectly with Gilbert.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
That bunch of goons. So, I wonder why we don't do more Thursday-Saturday series.
It's set by
the
league.
There are some coming.
Yeah, we do have, is it next week?
Missouri, and then I believe South Carolina is also a Thursday-Saturday series.
That's Missouri here. We owe them.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, because I got swept up there to begin the year in the freezing cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I got offered porch tickets Saturday for Missouri. Can't go.
Sure.
Yeah, it's first tournament of the year.
You can't. Are you going to start taking time off for your fishing career?
Yeah, 1st of May. I'll miss 3 or 4 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you run this by the boss?
Who is that?
It's Captain. The Crest Cup. He's got to contend for it.
Russell Smith, you might have heard of him.
Yeah, I actually did let him know a while back.
Okay.
Like last week.
As long as you put your request in time.
It's been on the Google Doc for like 2-3 months. So.
Okay.
And finally, at number five, Jason Kelce has lost his Super Bowl ring in a way only he could. The Kelce brothers set up a challenge at their alma mater of Cincinnati in which teams of university students had to dig through a giant inflatable tub of Skyline chili to find different objects. One of said objects was Jason's Super Bowl ring, and when the challenge ended, none of the students could find the ring. They cleaned
gone.
Out the tub. It is gone.
Somebody found it and just put it in their pocket. Genius.
Probably.
So this rocket surgeon, Jason Kelce, put, what are those things, $100,000 at least?
Potentially.
All the diamonds and, I mean, it's gold. Gold. Not whatever Miller's buying his old lady.
Jeez.
Dang. I mean, it's real diamonds. Why would you put that in there?
He said it was a challenge.
A little fun challenge. Dig through the Skyline chili.
Seems like the people that filled the buckets up with the chili left with a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah,
probably.
I'd be watching for that thing to show up like a hawk.
You ever had Skyline chili, Tucker?
I've never been to Cincinnati. I feel like I should go to a Reds game sometime.
It's god-awful.
Do you know what the secret ingredient in Skyline chili is?
I know it's like it's spaghetti with chili on top of it, basically, cheese and
but
chili.
But the actual chili, you know what the secret ingredient is?
What is it?
Cinnamon.
Interesting.
Actually, I think I might have known that.
Yeah. It's awful.
It's not good.
I took one bite and did the like Dumb and Dumber thing where I was like,
Yeah, I was not a fan.
It's a very hit or miss item. There are people that love it, but then
it's a total Yankee thing.
You're from New York.
Half my family's from New York. I'm born and raised on the mean streets of Knoxville, Tennessee.
What's the hat logo say?
It says Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Just checking. I respect him. I mean, people will battle you over Skyline Chili. Like, they love it. I just didn't like it very much.
They remind me, they're very similar to the Powell's Cult people.
Ooh. That's probably a good comparison. I much prefer Powell's over Skyline Chili.
I mean, why drive all the way to Jeffrey? I mean, if that guy had any sense at all, he would open one here in Knoxville. Before I'll drive to Jefferson City, I'll just drive right over to any of the 30 Sonics here in town and get the same thing.
Well, that's a little different.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a little different.
Have you eaten there?
Pals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
I've not. But Sonic Chili sounds like a quick trip back home to the restroom.
Well, yeah.
I think Sonic Chili is just Hormel.
I'm pretty sure. Some porcelain.
I think I read that on their website. It's like, yep, Hormel beanless chili is Sonic Chili. Nothing special. You can actually buy Skyline, though, in some grocery stores, cans of it. I'll get you some there.
No,
yeah.
Don't bother. I'm not
it's not
eat
chili
it.
Season anymore. We've officially exited.
Yeah, we definitely have. Yeah. It's a little toasty.
That being said, I'm going to our spot as soon as the show's over to get some of that. Some nachos.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about it ever since we went.
This guy.
This man loves him some chili nachos.
I hadn't even heard about him. I saw him on the menu. I was like, that'd be something good we can all grab at. And he has talked about those nachos every day.
That is true. It is
every day.
Chili.
It is a Tiger Team staple, Houston.
A Tiger Team staple.
It's where we formed the bonds.
Yes. The unbreakable bonds of the Tiger Team.
Well, is that it?
That is it.
Well done, Tucker.
Pretty solid top five. Not your best work,
Skyline
not your worst.
Chili.
I agree. I don't make the news. The news comes to me.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you
can only he can only read what happens.
You want me to make up some fake story about? I don't know. Patrick Mahomes getting traded to the Broncos.
Well, no. I mean,
Kirby Smart busted in a drug sting. That'd be good.
The kickers usually a little bit weirder.
Yeah, but some days you just can't find weird kickers.
That was a good one. It was fun. It was a chili tub and a lost Super Bowl ring. Do we think this is a pub stunt, though? Do we think it's real? Think he really lost the ring?
Yeah. I think that's the kind of thing you'd set yourself up for public ridicule for being an idiot.
Did you say it was Jason's or Travis's?
Jason.
Look up how much a Super Bowl ring costs for me. So what do you think the biggest story of the day is? Jonas Adu, did you see that?
The Barnes stuff?
Barnes saying that, you know.
That one sentence, that very terse response when asked about Adu.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think everyone thinks that. I mean, you know.
I was surprised.
Really?
I wasn't. I mean, he's pretty plain spoken about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from my understanding, Adu went into the team meeting the day after a walk-up. And Adu said, I plan on staying here. You know, I'm happy. Goes back home, talks with his team, comes back the next day, knowing that he can get a bigger NIL deal with Awaka leaving now. And he's like, okay, I want more money. Wants a bigger NIL deal. This is what college basketball in 2024 is.
Yeah.
So I think it's more so his team saying, you can go get more money. And I heard the evaluation he wants is $750,000.
Whoa.
And in comparison, Hunter Dickinson last year, the top guy in the portal, got $1 million. You know, so I mean, Jonas Adu was a second team All SEC this year, but is he worth $750,000? Dawn Connect was $400,000. You know, and he came from a smaller school, sure.
Sure, and he probably made way more than that once he got here and started, you know, exploding.
We didn't know what he was all about
back
then.
Exactly, but I'm just like in reference, you know.
No, and I think that's part of it, too. Like, he did get the accolades. He got, you know, all SEC honors, and he got, I mean, I think he got a couple of Player of the Weeks and stuff. Like,
yeah, he did.
Every time that happens, you got to be looking at somebody and saying, my value goes up. And if it doesn't change and you want to try to get more, I get it. I just hate to lose them. I hate to lose players, period.
Yeah.
Especially guys that were that vital to your team.
Well, I mean, he's a starter, but if I'm, you know, if I'm Barnes, I'm looking at Estrella, who had really good minutes in that Purdue game, showed that he could contend. You know,
well, I mean, we've heard that they've rumors, you know, coming out from over there is that they think potentially he could be one of their best bigs they've had in here since they've been here. So,
and
pretty high praise when you consider we got one of our bigs is still playing in the NBA.
Yeah, and what is a whole offseason of Estrella look like, you know, getting back in the workout room, development, you know, I think that's something you have to think about too. So, you know, I'd rather use that $750,000, if that's the number, to go get some other complimentary pieces around, like a Darlin Stone Dubar that came committed. So that's my point of view on it.
All right. Well, we'll hear from the man himself coming up next, as we're going to welcome in Coach Justin Gainey. I get him mixed up now.
No, I know. But they're both J's. They end and end.
Yeah, he's like his mini-me. I mean, they look...
They do look very similar.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's his guy. I kind of want to ask him if... Because I've noticed whenever Jordan is smiling on the court, usually somebody from the other team is either getting a tech or something is getting ready to happen.
You're going to ask him if his son's a little bit of an instigator?
I mean, can I do that without offending him?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be back on the other side as we'll be joined by Coach Justin Gainey, Associate Men's Head Coach at University of Tennessee. And you're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive continues, 5:22 on your Thursday evening. We go straight to the phone lines. We're joined now by Associate Head Coach at Tennessee, Justin Gainey. Coach, thank you for joining with us. How are we feeling on this Thursday afternoon?
Absolutely. I'm doing great. Feeling great. Glad to be on with you guys today. You know, weather's breaking here in Knoxville, so it's great.
Yeah, some are making an early entry, it would seem. I wanted to ask this first. I realize the world of college basketball, there's really no breaks, but since the end of the season, have you had some time to reflect on what was an historical season for Tennessee, making the second Elite Eight ever in school history?
You know what? Really briefly. Not much time for it. I mean, it went from... You know, getting back, and I did have, you know, maybe a day or so where I was able to kind of reflect on a little bit, and it was right to recruiting. So,
yeah, I was going to ask that too. So, as you guys wrap up a season, what does that look like? I mean, recruiting never stops. We know that, but is there some meetings with the staff, with the players? Like, what have the last 2 weeks looked like for you and the staff?
Yeah, it's man. So, you know, once the season concludes, you know, we kind of have our end-of-year meeting as a team. Congratulate the guys on a great year, job well done. And then to there, we go into our individual meetings with each guy just to kind of reflect on the season and, you know, in the world we are now, see if they're coming back or not. And so that's kind of what that looks like. And then you find that out, and then it's time to start building your team. Because, you know, we knew we were going to have some holes we needed to fill. It's just a matter of how many.
Yeah, I was getting to that, too. You mentioned the world we're living in now. You've been a coach for 17 years, 17 years of experience. How much different is it now compared to when you started? I mean, I guess really what, the last 3 or 4 years, it feels like we've moved – a million miles, yeah, just an absolute different environment. What's that been like?
Yeah, it's been different. You know, when I started out, you had the had to do a year of residency on the transfer. Obviously, there was no NIL. So, and then, you know, at the time, it was really difficult to transfer within leagues. You know, a lot of leagues had that 2-year. sit out. And so it was different to now where, you know, you can transfer as much as you want. You got the NIL and everything. So it is. It's different. But, you know, you got to adjust with the times. You know, you always knew, like, things weren't going to stay the same. And I'd say these last 3 years have been, like, completely different than the first 14 years of my coaching career.
Yeah, you said things never stay the same. That's obviously true. Did you ever, when you were getting into coaching or, you know, in the previous 10 years, did you ever think it would get to where it is now this fast?
I knew it would. I kind of thought it would get to where players were able to get paid. Because I just remember being in school and you know, you had to make it off of a Pell Grant. There was no cost of attendance. There was no Austin funds there, you know, and you couldn't work during the season during the school year. You could do it in the summertime, you know, and so it was a lot of restrictions on how players were able to earn some income outside of basketball. And so you kind of felt that coming where they started doing cost of attendance and all of that. And you kind of said, so yeah, it's coming, you know, it matter when. Then you had the Charles O'Bannon case and all of that stuff. And so you kind of felt that coming, but it was just like all of a sudden, boom, it hit, and it just kind of everything hit at once. And that's why it feels like it does right now, where it's like an avalanche coming at you.
Coach, talking about the portal, you were able to get Hofstra transfer guard Darnstone Dubar, averaged 17.8 points per game last year, 6.8 rebounds, really good, efficient score. What do you think Dubar brings to the table next year for the Vols?
Yeah, I think he brings versatility. You know, he's a guy that can impact the game in a lot of different ways. You know, offensively, he can attack you from the perimeter. He can attack you inside. He can drive you. He can shoot you. He can shoot the three. You know, he just brings a lot of versatility to our program.
He had a couple big performances last year against Duke, had that 24-point outing, 7-11 from three, played really well against St. John's as well. How do you think his game will translate to now the Power 6 level coming over from Hofstra?
Yeah, I think it'll transcend pretty good. You know, obviously there's some things he'll need to work on. He'll need to make some adjustments, but he's a really good player, and you know, I'm sure he's been making those adjustments all his life. And you know, he's a kid that, you know, started out at Iowa State and then, you know, went to Hofstra from there. So I think he has a feel for what the different levels look like and the things he needs to adjust in his game. But you know, anytime you're as efficient as he was, you know, I always think that those type of things translate.
Coach, stylistically, I thought this year's team was just so much fun to watch. As you look to add players maybe through the portal or in recruiting, and you start to look ahead a little bit to next year, was this year's style something you want to keep going forward, or is it more of adapting to the players that you're able to put on your roster?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of both. Like, as we recruit, we want to recruit to play similar to we did last year. Obviously, you know, Dalton brought a whole different dimension to what we did and how we did it. And so, you know, and we're realists to understand, like, you know, getting that type of impact guy, you know, counting on that every year is really tough. But stylistically, you know, we want to continue to play that way and still be able to sprinkle in a little more, being able to score it inside a little bit more and a little bit better. And so as we enter the portal, you know, we're targeting guys that can shoot the ball, but also, you know, finding some guys inside that can impact and score it inside.
I know you said you haven't had much time to reflect on this season, but I was just curious, was there a moment or a game as you look back that just really sticks out to you? Maybe, I don't know if it's a big shot, a big play, or just you realizing that you and the team were just having a lot of fun?
You know, I mean, it was early in SEC play. I don't know if it was the Florida game. Like, Dalton had 39 points, and the guys kept trying to get him the ball so he could eclipse 40. And at that moment, I thought, like, man, this is a special group. Like, there's not a lot of teams that I've been on that, you know, were so egoless and, you know, just wanted to see, you know, their teammate exceed to that level. You know, like, it was unbelievable. And I knew at that moment, I said, we got a special group. We got a special group. And they all, realized his greatness. But he also was a humble guy, and he also knew that he needed all the other guys to help him be great. And so I would say that moment, and don't quote me, I think it was the Florida game, but I'm not sure. It might have been another game, but it was, you know, he finished with 39. He never got to it, but it might have been like four possessions in a row. The guys just gave it to him and got out of the way. And then we were winning big, but, you know, and they wanted him to get to that mark. And so at that moment, I knew, like, yeah, we got a chance to be special.
Coach, in that final game of the season, J.P. Estrella had to match up against Zach Edey, one of the best centers in the country, and played some really big minutes. Going into this offseason, getting back in the gym, getting back on the court, how big of a jump do you think he can take from this year to next year?
Yeah, we need him to take a big jump. You know, obviously we have that void at the five position, and he is a talented young man. He was probably our best low post scorer last year in practice. Like, when you give him the ball, you feel pretty good that he's gonna get to a good shot. And, you know, and he's big. He's you know, he's big and strong. You know, and you know, it's hard to move him. And so we need him to take that big jump this summer. I think he recognizes how important it is for him to be completely locked in this off season and to take everything serious. And, like, look, you're not a freshman anymore. Like,
yeah,
you've been through it. All right, it's time. Right, it's time. Your whole approach changes. It's time to go time.
Another guy I want to ask about, Cameron Carr. You know, came in a couple of instances last year in some sparing minutes, but played really well. You know, another guy looking to kind of take that jump. What do you want to see from him next season compared to this year?
You know, just continue to grow, and you know, and from a defensive standpoint, growing in that area, I think is his biggest jump. I think he's naturally gifted offensively. You know, he can do some things, but seeing him take that jump on the defensive side of the ball, and not only on ball but off ball, and you know, that's going to be a big step for him.
Coach, I know you probably don't like to play favorites, but if you were buying stock on a player who maybe didn't have as large of an impact this year, but going into next year, you think has a chance to make a big step, or it can be a couple names. I'm not going to make you put it on one. But who should we maybe be keeping an eye on starting next season?
Man, that's tough. Because, I think, I'll be honest, I think all of those guys, you know, like, and I can even, you know, I'll start with Z. Like, I think there's another jump in Z, although, you know, he's been really, really good and had a great season. I think there's another jump for him. I think Jordan, I think he's ready to take a big jump. And, you know, and both areas, you know, both sides of the basketball. I think Shaq, you know, I think Shaq is ready to take a jump and you know, and on that, especially on the offensive side, to, you know, become even better there, add some pieces there. And then we talked about the young guys, and, you know, the guy I don't want to leave out is Cade Phillips. I mean, a worker. He's got a load of potential, a load of ability and talent, big time athlete, you know. We saw a little bit of him, but I think he's another guy that's ready to take a jump. So I think those six guys that's returning, like, they're all hungry. They all got something to prove. I think five of the six, you know, let's say exclude Z, I think five of the six, like, are excited about seeing their role increase. And they're talented. Like, that's a talented group right there. All those guys have been in games and have been able to impact the games at a high level and been a reason why we won some of those games, you know. And so I think all of them are ready to take that jump.
Coach, last question, and we'll get you out of here. Really appreciate the time today. As you look back on this season and look forward, what is one area or one thing that you think this team can improve on to maybe take that next step next year, or at least the continued success that they had this past year?
I think inside scoring presence is one area where I think we can take a jump. And when I say inside, more of like back to the basket, being able to, you know, score back to the basket in there. I think that's one area where we could, you know, could grow from and be better, and where we're like, you know, in our recruitment of inside guys, you know, that is something we want to make sure we take care of. But realizing that, hey, we got a guy in JP Estrella that he can go get a bucket in there, and just continue to develop him and push him.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. Enjoy this beautiful Thursday, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
You too. Associate head coach of the University of Tennessee men's basketball team, Justin Gainey. Bear, what did you learn?
Pattinson's really good at this stuff. Like,
there's no end in it.
Pattison.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
So, yeah, it's a great interview. Love coach. The last thing he was talking about, I think that's kind of what we all thought. I did like about Shaq, about Jemai. You know, because there was rumors around town that he wasn't, that he was thinking about maybe testing the waters, which I thought was going to be just a huge mistake for him.
Yeah.
Not only that, maybe not. It would have devastated me.
The one question I'd thought about asking, but I just didn't want to put him on the spot, was like, I felt like they were Coach Barnes and all of them, Coach Gainey. I mean, the playing when, you know, at the end of not this past year, but the year before, when Zakai went down, Mayshak was our point guard.
Yeah. Sure.
And I thought he did a really good job running the offense. And still to this day, Jemai's our most explosive athlete.
Sure.
So
thinking of maybe putting him at that backup, you know, backup point guard position. Or
yeah, I think when Ziegler needs a break, you just roll him to one, bring in another two
and
instead.
Yeah, and I don't, like, I felt like at times he did not look comfortable playing that Josiah role and battling out with the fours.
Which he did a couple of times. And, it's tough when guys can lean on him and he doesn't have nearly the weight.
But I am very, very enthused because, I mean, we all know Jemai Mayshak's one of the best on-ball defenders in college basketball.
Yes, without a doubt.
And it's not looking through orange-colored glass. I mean, he shut down Mark Sears, I believe, twice this year. Mm-hmm. He shut down the kid, I can't remember his name, from last year, who was a lottery pick. He's that from Alabama.
Brandon Miller.
Brandon Miller scored no points and was basically completely neutralized when Jemai was on the court with him. So, was really I'm feeling a lot better. Got a lot better outlook about next year after talking.
I do too.
Yeah, with Coach.
That was big. It was calming to talk to him a little bit.
Yeah, because it's like, look, this is what's going on. Everything's fine. I have complete faith in Coach. Coach Barnes, Coach Polinsky, all those guys, Coach Clark, that we're going to have – we'll be just fine. This is a Rick Barnes program. He demands excellence from everybody, and we'll be fine. We're going to have a retooled roster, but we've still got one of the most dynamic point guards in the country starting for us. Got a roster full of talent, got young talent. I'm really looking forward to Estrella.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he could be big.
Yeah.
Like, the jump he made from that late season Auburn game to the minutes he got against Purdue, I don't know. It was he didn't look like he belonged on the floor a couple possessions against Auburn, and then against Purdue, and it's Zach Edey. He's going to get some points. But he looked good. He looked good against Creighton when he got in.
The thing about Zach Edey, he didn't look like the moment. Now, Grant, you know, Edie got his points, but I mean, Edie got, how many did he score on Klingon?
37.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's going to get his points.
Yeah.
Part of it because he's going to shoot 20 free throws, but what I was looking for was not whether or not he could hold Edie down. Nobody does. I mean, a kid's the unicorn of all unicorns. He did not look intimidated. Mm-mm. He went right at him. He went toe to toe, and basically had a 40-minute, you know, however long he was on him, street fight with him.
Yeah, the way he played defense too, I thought was really important because he was getting on Edie's left side where he doesn't like to go to, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and really made him uncomfortable for that stretch he was in there.
And Edie, I noticed that because JP is such a big kid, and I don't think people are have any comprehension of how different JP. If he puts the work in this summer with Garrett Maitenwald, how different he's going to look next year.
Because
you know that jump that they all seem to make from freshman year to sophomore year with him, where remember how Josiah just went from
a string bean
to yoked?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyhow, great stuff. Really appreciate Coach Gainey. I did mean to tell him, I took his advice. Do not sleep on the Culver's fish sandwich if you like fish sandwiches, it's incredible. Little bit of a problem with them now. I try and not drive past there.
They're that good, huh?
Yeah, and I didn't even think about it until Coach said something about it.
Wouldn't, because it's Culver's.
Yeah, the coach was like,
"You think
hey,
of the burgers and
burger
the,
and a milkshake or something."
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Coach Gainey gave us pro tip: don't sleep on the Culver's fish sandwich.
And now you know.
And then I kind of got scared. I didn't want to ask him about Jordan.
Yeah, you should have.
I didn't want to put him on the spot, man. It's his kid. And
I think the way you phrase it, though, is perfect. Hey, we've noticed that when he's smiling, someone else is not smiling.
Yeah.
Generally, we're shooting two free throws, like a technical free throw. Yeah. So.
Where did he get that? Did he get that from you? Is that your
– No, because, see, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I watched him, Justin, when he played at NC State. Mm. And he went on an unbelievable run through the ACC tournament, I think his senior year. And – I've told him it made me a lot of money. I bet on NC State. Yeah. Yeah. I probably made more money than he did after what he told us about Pell Grants and all. I was sitting here thinking, I'd be willing to bet I made more money off of you playing basketball than you made playing basketball at NC State. So, but great interview. Really appreciate him taking the time to speak with us. So, it's a good interview.
That was good.
Yeah. All right, well, we are going to take our last break of the show, and we'll be right back with the shocking conclusion of the drive coming up next on Fan Run Radio. Wrapping up here on the drive on a Thursday afternoon. We have had a communique from the captain.
It's not necessarily positive.
No. Not feeling real good. You want to take back any of the ugly things you said about him?
I never said he wasn't actually sick. I don't
you
think I was
ugly. You
kept
doing the quote thing where you said allegedly.
Well, that's allegedly. I'm not saying I don't believe him.
Did you go over there and take him some chicken soup?
Does he feel like eating it? That's the
real
question.
Said he hadn't eaten all day. He said he can't eat. Feels nauseous.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. What do you think it was? You think it was a bug, or you think it? I don't know what he ate last night, but I've had food poisoning that's put me down for a day. Big time.
I've had food poisoning before. It put me down for a day as well.
Yeah,
it's gross.
I had it when I was, it was like 12 or 13. Ended up with a 1 week hospital stay.
Oh my goodness!
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I had E. coli.
Oh yeah,
that's extreme.
Yeah, I was unconscious for like 72 hours.
You remember what you ate, what it was?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'll
can you eat it again?
No, if I see the billboards for it, it hadn't happened a long time, but for the longest time, if I even saw a picture of one, I would start gagging.
Can we know?
Can we? Can you disclose it?
Yeah, it's a McDonald's McRib sandwich.
Oh, my
what did you expect?
Shocker. Absolute shocker.
So you don't like when the McRib comes back?
No.
So November, whenever you're watching TV, you're watching a game or whatever, you see it.
Yeah,
you're like, oh no, yeah. Here it comes.
McRib is back.
I thought they retired the McRib. You know, remember they had that farewell tour, and then they brought it back, like,
because it's one of their biggest money makers.
It's marketing, man. It's gone forever.
Oh, they're genius.
And then a year and a half, they're like, "Well, for special edition McRib." And people,
they
like,
made one subtle change on their build out for one burger, and it saved them $250 million in one fiscal year.
Really?
Yeah.
See, Bear, instead of thinking about the McRib as the commercials playing, you should think about that Burger King Yumbo you used to eat.
No, I don't know.
Burger King what?
Yumbo was the name
What's
of this
Yumbo?
Thing.
What is
that?
It's
a hot ham and cheese sandwich.
From Burger King?
Yeah, it was gigantic, yeah. That's when I was a little kid.
I don't like deli ham.
No.
I don't like Burger King.
But, yeah.
I eat at Burger King once a year after Tennessee loses their first football game. That's my punishment meal.
Really?
Every year. It's the only time I get it.
But yeah, the McRib. Ooh.
What, good or like?
Oh.
No, he's turned off by it because of the whole food poisoning
thing. Were you like a big McRib guy, though, or did you just happen to get one time and got sick?
No, I mean, I liked them whenever they came out. Okay. But it, I mean, somebody went to the bathroom, didn't wash their hands, and they made my sandwich.
Mm, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. One of those deals. Yeah, so
hygiene's
but the big
important
the change
the
that McDonald's made, you can look it up. They went, I can't remember which hamburger it was. I can't remember if it was the McDouble or the Big Mac. They went from two pieces of cheese to one slice of cheese.
No, yeah, it was the.
That's wild to me. $250 million.
I think it is the McDouble. Right, the McDouble, because they used to do the double cheeseburger and they were $1.
Yeah,
and then they called it the McDouble. And it was still $1, and they upped the price of the double cheeseburger, but everyone kept ordering it from the dollar menu. So
yeah,
like,
and the McDouble.
Yeah, one slice of cheese.
Yeah, they dropped that one, that extra slice, and that's just insane.
It's crazy.
So
I thought you were going to say, they, like, one less pickle or something.
No, I mean, but there's all kinds of stuff like that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Squeeze $1, so.
Hey, real quick, I know we briefly mentioned Elijah Herring entering the portal the other day.
Yeah.
Did you see where he's visiting tomorrow?
I saw this.
Let me guess.
Colorado.
Prime.
Colorado.
Bear got it.
Really? Perfect place
Prime.
For him.
That's wild. I love it.
Did y'all see what Shador and Shiloh Sanders were doing?
Yeah, what?
Cringy.
Oh, yeah, they were advertising.
DM us.
Who wants to commit to that?
Nobody.
No.
It's dysfunction.
It's just wild.
That's wild.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Speaking of wild. Of our last caller of the day, let's bring him in, Polish Joe. Pojo, how are you, sir?
Happy Thursday, gentlemen.
You too, brother.
Hey, guys, who's answering the phone calls now? I mean, I said Polish Joe twice, and he keeps saying Joshy Boy. What the hell?
I thought you said Joshy Boy for a second. You were cutting in and out, and then you said the Polish one, and then I knew who you were.
All right. Well, I want to thank Bear and Reed for sticking up for me against Josh DuBois' personal attacks yesterday.
Reed, you mean Houston?
Or Houston.
Come on, Pojo. What are you doing?
He's been on the show for like 4 months now, man.
I always got your back, Pojo. You know this.
Thank you, man.
Even when you're talking like a loon, he's got your back. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm listening to the interview with Gainey.
It's Coach Gainey, please. Show some respect.
Well, I haven't changed his name yet.
Okay.
And it reminded me, you know, those softball questions that you're asking him reminded me of Vitello throwing a soft toss pitch to the Notre Dame outfielder with one home run all season.
What softballs did we – what were we supposed to ask Coach Gainey?
Sarah, if you don't know that by now.
No, just tell me. You're doing the interview, Pojo. What are you leading with? Well, what are you asking? You've got the associate head coach of the men's basketball team. What are you asking him?
What is the problem? What's the difference between the first game of the year with Coach, I'm going to call him his name, Barnes, and then when we get to the NCAA tournament? What changes?
Well, you weren't playing Purdue in game one. That was a big change.
We played them in like game four.
Yeah, they're good. Like, I don't I feel like a lot of years there's some beef that I understand. I don't feel like you can just hammer the coaching in the postseason this year.
You got a player going for 40, okay? He's the only player in the tournament, and you don't deny him the basketball.
Well, the team that won the national championship allowed him to score 37 points, and their center is going to be top 10 in the NBA.
They're not up.
Well, they arguably have – and then they do have a better center.
Why wouldn't you put a player in front of Edie and behind them and let the other team beat you?
Because they were the number one three-point shooting team
in
America.
Yeah, but guess what they shot that game? That game, they were awful.
Yeah, because we were running them off. Off the three-point line.
They couldn't make free throws that game, Bear. Quit making excuses. Wake up.
Okay. That's what they did in the first game. And Fletcher Lawyer dropped, what, 27?
Yeah, 26.
And what did Edie have? He still had like
still
20,
had
20 something.
Seven, maybe?
And Purdue, 17 like, rebounds.
Purdue's a tough team to beat. That's why they were made it to the national championship. Yeah. If you double Edie, then you know, you've got to defend their perimeter shooting. And they were the number one team in the country in three-point shooting.
Right.
You can't get beat with threes. So Tennessee decided, hey, we're going to take out the three-point shot for them. We'll try to beat them with threes on the other end. I thought Tennessee did what they had to do. You just got in foul trouble, and it didn't go your way. I don't think it's coaching.
No, and they did completely different than what they did in the first game. And that's why you didn't have Fletcher Lawyer dropping 26 or 27. It was, you know, let's see if Edie can do it. He hit most of his free throws, and he actually hit some pretty tough shots against you too, like where you pushed him out in what a, you know, you think normally it's a pretty good range where you like your chances there, and he hits some like that little turning one-handed jumper and the hook and everything. Like, he's a good player. Played for a national championship.
Well,
you were a matchup away from making a Final Four, in my opinion.
I think it's personnel, not coaching.
Yeah, I agree.
This is a productive day.
Thank y'all for having me
new
on.
New outro?
Oh, no
thank
problem.
Thank you, William. Seriously, appreciate
yeah,
it.
One try. Russell hates this one.
Oh, because it has words?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Got that whole thing he does.
Who is this?
You're a Schmendrick.
Careful.
Schmendrick.
Careful.
You schmuck. For Houston, thank Tucker, you. William Patterson, this is Bear signing off for the day. We've got overtime coming up next with William. Stick around for that. And then we will be back tomorrow. I don't know what's going on right now.
You're playing two things at once.